بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. This is part 2 of chapter 2. Rulings related to adhan, iqama, salah, and dhikr. Question number 6. Can a female lead a boy who has not yet reached puberty in prayer? Can a young boy lead an adult female? Yes, it is allowed for young boys, 10 or a little younger, to lead people in prayer with one condition. The condition is that the child should know the rulings of Salah, Wudu, Tahara, and Sajda Sahu. There is a hadith that provides evidence for this. It states that there was a child who was 7 years old and was leading prayer, and his bottom was showing and as his clothes were too small. A woman passing by said, "Can't you guys buy something to cover your imam's bottom?" He was leading the prayer because he knew the most Quran amongst the group. And even though he was young, he was allowed to lead the people in prayer. Also, women are allowed to lead young boys who have not yet reached puberty in prayer. Can a woman lead men in prayer? This issue is where most of the ulama agreed that women are not allowed to lead men in prayer. Some scholars have a different opinion. Amongst them is a great Shafi'i scholar named Al-Muzani and Ibn Jarir, Al-Tabari, and Abu Thawb. These three allowed women to lead men in prayer, but she has to lead them from behind and only if no one amongst the men memorized the Quran. One scholar allowed it only for Taraweeh, as it is a nafil prayer, and none of them allowed it for the Jumu'ah prayer. The next question is, can I stand beside my husband in prayer? All the Muslim jurists say that women should pray behind men even if they are their mahram. Question number 8. What is the rule regarding carrying a baby with a dirty diaper during prayer? The Sheikh answered this question in detail in previous chapters. The answer to this is yes, a mother can carry her baby with a dirty diaper during prayer. Question number 9. When women line up for salah, should their bodies touch each other like in men's lines? The answer to this question is, yes, they have to be close together. The sunnah is not to leave gap for shaitan. Also, if women are praying with gaps between them, then their reward for the prayer is lessened. Question number 10. I have seen some women praying dhuhr after jumu'ah. Is there a basis for this practice? The Sheikh said that he has seen some women praying dhuhr after the jumu'ah salah, but this is wrong because Jumu'ah Salah replaces Dhuhr. This also applies for men and children. A question was asked from the audience. If part of the area that should be covered becomes uncovered during Salah, will the Salah be invalid? The Sheikh said that it will be invalid depending on two conditions. Number one, the size of the place, and number two, how long it was uncovered for. If it is a large part of the body that was uncovered for a long period of time, then the salah becomes invalid. If a small area of her hair or neck or leg is visible while going into sujood or ruku', then it is okay, the salah is still acceptable. But if a person is not aware that a body part is showing, even if it is a large area, then it is fine. The salah is still acceptable because the person was not aware of it. Another question that was asked was, is it okay for women to pray in congregation or jama'ah? The answer to this question is, it is good to pray in jama'ah, but if they want to pray by themselves, that is also permissible. But if there are men in a group, then they must pray in jama'ah. When women pray together, the scholar said it doesn't matter, she can stand in front of the women or in the middle of the first row, as Aisha radiallahu anha used to lead women. Other narrations from early generations show that women leading women in prayer used to stand in front of the rows too, and there is nothing forbidding this. Another question is, what about people passing in front of the person who is praying? The sunnah is to pray in front of a sutra. The sunnah is to have a sutra in front of the person who is praying. The object should be the size of 2/3 of the length of the arm. And this is reported in Sahih Bukhari, and it has to be in front of the person who is praying. If a person wants to pass, then he or she should pass from behind or from in front of the sutra and not in between the person and the sutra. Question number 11. Should a child passing in front of a praying person be prevented? The Sheikh said that, yes, a child should be taught not to pass in front of a person while praying. The person who is praying can also stop the child and let him or her go behind the person. It has been reported in Hakim that once the Prophet ﷺ was praying in a field or garden, and he was praying in front of a wall, and he saw a goat coming. So the Prophet ﷺ walked until he was very close to the wall, and he let the goat pass from behind him. What if the child passes in front of you and you were not able to stop him or her? Your salah is still fine and it is acceptable. Question number 12. Would a woman passing in front of another woman break her prayer? The Sheikh said that if a woman passes in front, it is still acceptable and it does not matter if she is on her period or not. None of the Muslim scholars say that the salah is unacceptable. However, a woman passing in front of a man, Aisha radiallahu anha said, it is still acceptable because she was in front of the Prophet ﷺ while he was praying. She used to sleep in front of him while he was praying, and he would move her feet so he can make sajda, because there was very little space in their room. There is a hadith that says that women break the salah, and all the madhab say that it breaks the concentration, and it does not mean to literally break the salah or cause it to be invalid. Therefore, the salah is valid if a woman passes in front of a person that is praying. Question number 13. At the Haram in Mecca, people pass in front of those praying continuously due to crowding. Does a passing woman break prayer in such a scenario? The scholars made an exception for Mecca and Medina because it can be very crowded at times. And as a general rule, this can be applied to very crowded areas. The ruling is not so strict, and people who pass in front of you while praying, your prayer is still acceptable. Question number 14. Is it permissible for me to join prayer if I am in a mall or work and there is no masjid nearby? The answer to this question is that the mall is not the most important place, and if you are there casually, then you should not combine. But if you are there for something really important or you're at work and you became overwhelmed with so much work, then it is allowed to combine for that brief period of time. However, it cannot become a routine or an everyday thing. This ruling also applies for a person who has exams and they are not able to pray on time. If it is out of necessity and there's no way out, then it is permissible to combine the salah, but it should not become a habit. Question number 15. Aisha radiallahu anha said, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had witnessed what women were doing today, he would have prevented them from coming to the masjid, as the women of Bani Israel were forbidden from going to their places of worship. This was reported in Muslim. What does this narration mean? This means that women should behave appropriately in the masjid, and they should not talk too much or too loud or dress inappropriately. However, we know that the Prophet ﷺ also said in another hadith that no one should prevent women from going to the masjid. Question number 16. Do we have to have a partition between men and women in the masjid? The Prophet ﷺ's masjid had no partition between men and women. The early generations for hundreds of years had no partitions. Also, this issue was never discussed in the books of fiqh because it never existed in the time of the Sahaba and after. The salah is correct with or without partition, and putting a partition is not an act of worship. If it exists, then it should only be for giving privacy for women, because sisters have their own halaqa in the masjid. And nowadays in our society, the masjid is more of a community center. Aisha radiallahu anha used to teach at her own home, and the men used to listen from outside while the women were inside. If there is a partition, then the women should have visual access to the men, and they should at least be able to hear them without a microphone, because if the microphone or speakers fail, then they should know which part of the salah they are still in. Question number 17. If there is a partition in the masjid, what would be the best line for women, the front or the back? The answer to this question is that the Prophet ﷺ said, for men, the best line in prayer is the front row and the worst is the back row. And for women, the best line is the back row and the worst line is the front row. But if there is a partition in the masjid, then in this case, for women, the best row would be in the front. This is also the opinion of Sheikh Ibn Baz. Question number 18. Must I have wudu and wear hijab during sujood al-tilawa and sujood al-shukr? Sujood al-shukr means to make one sajda for thankfulness. You do not need to wear hijab or to have wudu or to face the qibla because the person is not performing salah. This is what the majority of the scholars have said. The other opinion says you have to wear hijab and make wudu because it is a part of the salah. But it is not a good argument because we also say subhanallah and other adhkar which are also part of the salah, but we do not need wudu for it. The sunnah is to make sajda shukr right away when we hear the good news, so it is possible that we do not have wudu or hijab at the time. Question number 19. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prevented women from wearing perfume when going to the masjid. Does this apply to deodorants, body sprays, lotions with smells, etc.? The answer to this is, the Sheikh believes that deodorant is very important as sometimes people can have foul smell and enter the masjid, and this would be disrespectful for the masjid. What is forbidden is to wear perfume that men can smell when a person passes by. If it is something not too strong or a person has to be very close to be able to smell it, then it is allowed. If a woman is going to an all-women's event, then it is okay as long as she is not passing by men. Some sisters go to the extreme of buying unscented shampoo, etc. But this is wrong because the Prophet ﷺ told women to clean themselves from the period and to put musk on to push away the bad smell. Aisha radiallahu anha has said that during Hajj, she put some musk on her hair during Hajj to make the smell go away. And also she was with women during this time. Question number 20. Do the hadith that mention rewards for remaining in dhikr after prayer apply to women praying at home? For example, there are a lot of hadith that mention the reward for umrah for a person who stays in place after fajr and does dhikr until salatul duha. Imam Malik said it applies to men in the masjid and women at home. But he also said that if a man prays fajr at home and stays making dhikr, then this hadith applies to him also. A question from the audience. Is there a difference in the way women perform prayer other than men? Is there a difference in the way women perform prayer than men? The Sheikh said that there are no differences except for the following 5 points. Number 1, if men pray, then they have to do the iqamah, and women do not need to do it. Number 2, if the imam makes a mistake, the men say subhanallah and the women clap. Number 3, men say ameen out loud and women say it silently. Number 4, men can lead men and women in salah, and women cannot lead men. And the last difference, number 5, is if there are 2 men praying, then they can stand next to each other. But if there is a man and a woman praying, the woman should stand behind the man. Another question that was asked in the audience was, does a woman recite Quran out loud during prayer? The answer to this is, if a woman is leading women, she must read out loud. If she is praying on her own, then she can also read out loud, especially for Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr. She should recite out loud since these are the loud prayers. This concludes part 2 of chapter 2. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.